Biggie. Be a part of the show. Text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
Good choice on the rejoin there, Tanner Brutomesso. Shout out. Tulio, as we affectionately call him around these parts. V-Show rolling along here on a Monday. ESPN 680-1057. Jeff Leitze Jr. in studio with us. If you can't get enough Jeff Leitze Jr. this week, then quite honestly, I don't know what to say to you. Because shout out to Jeff helping fill in for the V-Show. And then he's going to be doing the drive with Mark Ennis today. So pulling double duty. 6-hour day for you, my friend.
It's always fun, man. This is easy. I used to work in the real world.
That's a good point. Anytime I complain about this, I just remember those overnight shifts at UPS, which is a great company. Like, UPS is a great company to work for, but like, with the highest level of respect to UPS, and they make it as fun and user-friendly if you're in school as possible. Can't recommend it enough to anybody. But with that said, coming in and talking about Hawk to a girl and Hooters and stuff and sports is a little bit more fun than, you know, dealing with packages all night. So yeah, but I'm totally with you, buddy. But yeah, Jeff Leitze is going to be on the drive today with Mark Ennis. Tune in over on 93.9 The Ville starting at 3 o'clock. Again, a reminder tonight, Reds and Pirates, 640 right here on ESPN 680-1057. Tennessee baseball, Texas A&M. They are in a dogfight for the Rocco's Jello Shot Challenge, and they are also playing for the national championship tonight. And we will have that game at 7 p.m. over on 93.9 The Ville. I will say it was a weekend of some exciting sports for your boy. We'll play Menage a Montage here in just a second. But I'm very happy. I don't know how big a baseball fan you are, Jeff. I am on a scale of 1 to 10, I put myself, I vary anywhere between a 5 and an 8.
Okay.
Depending on what's going on.
You can get it. That's pretty high.
Yeah. I can get on board with it, but currently right now, I'm still kind of in the 5 territory. You know, I'm following the Reds and the Mets and, you know, everything like that. But there was a little something extra on the line as I was driving home last night from Virginia. Jack Grossman, Crean, and I have had a bet going for basically as long as I've known that child.
Okay.
For about 6 years now, we have a bet for the season series between his Cubs and my Mets. And I have lost it 5 straight years. Because 3 years, the second we started this bet, the Cubs dominated the Mets. And they won. I forgot what the stat was. But seriously, I think for the first 3 years of the 15 meetings between the two teams, the Cubs had won like 11 of them. Okay. Like, it was something stupid like that. Like I wasn't even getting
close.
I wasn't even getting a tickle. Yeah. Like, you know. And so the bet was always, if I win, I would buy Jack a deep dish pizza from New York. If, you know, from Lou Malnati's, Giordano's, Pequod, something like that. And I would mail it to him. He would pay me a New York style pizza if the Mets won. So I got pissed off because I lost 4 years in a row. I think I only paid it for maybe 2 of those years. So I feel bad about that. So I still owe him some pizza. But then I got pissed off and I said, you know what? Screw it. I'm taking the Cubs. And you can take the Mets. And he was like, fine, I'll take that bet. And I picked last year. And, of course, the Mets won the season series and I lost again. So this year we just kept it straight up. And the Mets managed to win the weekend series against the Cubbies. And I finally won the season series Mets versus Cubs bet against Jack Grossman. So I've been sending him Mr. Met gifts all day, as one is prone to do. And I need to figure out how I'm going to get my New York style pizza. But that was just one thing that happened this weekend. It was a full weekend of sports. And we wrap it all up in a menage a montage brought to you by Spring Street Bar and Grill. Spring Street Bar and Grill. Mondays, trivia starting at 7 p.m. Cash prizes to the first three teams. Or the first three, you know, the top three teams. So shout out to Spring Street and shout out to our menage a montage. And it starts, you got it, Tanner? It starts right now.
Curled in near post, flicked along, all off the upright. How close can you come? Louisville still waiting for the first goal.
And a chance.
Great delivery right across the goal, and Gonzalez has to find a way to tuck that home. He's in the six-yard box, and he misses it. Great.
First pitch to India, swung on and belted left field. This is high and deep, and gone. Out of here to left, Jonathan India. 2-1 Reds.
Connor Brown reverses right back to Ekholm. He'll club it up the left-hand side, waiting for it as Janmark, driving into the net. Centering pass, reach shot, score! 2-0 Edmonton. What a finish! Adam Henrik puts it away!
1-2 pitch, in the air to deep left field. Yelich is back. He's going to watch this one. Going to go! Second deck in left for Higashioka. His sixth of the year and the third Padre home run of the day makes it 6-0 here in the seventh.
They haven't stopped believing. And this series gets dragged back to South Florida for a winner take all Stanley Cup final game seven.
Flip forward over the top. Flag stays down, great fake shot, and they place it away. It's 3-1, 5 minutes plus stoppage time. Placed away, Dylan Maris.
Soto off first, the pitch to Judge. Hit in the air to right field and deep. Laureano back, it's gone! 28th home run of the season for Aaron Judge into the right field seats, and he gives the Yankees a 2-1 lead with one swing of the bat.
This ball is popped up into right. This one is now at the track, and that's where it will die when the wind brought it in. It just didn't sound the same as the foul ball. And Tennessee forces a game three. They win it 4-1.
Clark lobs it in. The tip won't happen. That is it. Chicago with a ferocious comeback for their first win of the season against the Fever.
I'm sure there was an opportunity here too for me to probably attempt another shot there quite at the end, but I trust my teammates. Obviously, 13 assists, that means my teammates scored off of 13 of my passes. Like, it's a really great number. So I'm going to give them the ball every time and give them an opportunity to score. I believe in them.
Nah, I'm just hoping. I'm from Baltimore. This is what I do. Like, I come out and perform. I do whatever it takes to win every single day. This is what I love. I love this game.
When something like that happens, you don't really know what's happening, so it can kind of rattle you a little bit just because there's people running around the green and there's police officers running around the green, and you don't know if they're peaceful. You don't know what they're doing. It's, you have no idea what's going on, and so it can be a bit stressful. But fortunately, I was out there, and you could kind of see me and Akshay talking to each other for a minute, me and Tom talking to each other for a minute, just basically trying to calm down.
In the men's 100-meter semifinals, there's Noah Lyles, and he's going to do it again. He has always been a fan of Japanese anime. Yesterday, he pulled out a card of Yu-Gi-Oh! Of Blue Eyes White Dragon. Not sure what today's one is. I know that your daughters are fans, right?
The pitch swung on, line drive. That'll get down for a base hit. Rounding third and scoring is Rice. They're going to send Austin Wells. Here comes the throw. Not in time. It's a two-run single for Oswaldo Cabrera. Yankees now with a 6-1 lead.
Three balls, two strikes. Tied at seven. The pitch, time called. Time violation! A pitch clock violation on Finnegan! And that's the game! The Rockies on the pitcher Finnegan taking too much time. That becomes ball four. And for the first time in the new rules, the Rockies have a walk-off on a pitch violation.
Second shot for Lauren Hartledge at 16.
Here's her coach, Grant Waite, out here with her. They were grinding on the range ahead of this round. And certainly the work they've done on her golf swing is starting to pay off.
Pitch number 12 to Bellinger. Swing and a miss, struck him out, elevating 98. And a big pump of the fist from both Severino and the catcher Alvarez.
You know, you can't kind of ride the wave or the roller coaster. It's, we really haven't done anything yet. We've won three big games to get ourselves back into the series. And, you know, it comes down to one game here. And we'll be ready. And we're looking forward to that. It's a great opportunity.
It's been a long year. I think players have had their backs up against the wall since November. It's couple of playoff series and definitely the last three or four games here. But our goal is here to win our last game of the season.
It's probably going to be the loudest rink I've ever been in my life is what I'm expecting. It's, you can't even describe the feeling of excitement.
What happens from the morning skate to the game time, there'll be a new set of emotions to that, and we'll deal with them. We have some experience to that. So my day is full enough, and my direction is clear enough that I don't have any moments of what if. We're doing this. This is what we're doing.
Well, there you have it. Menage a Montage brought to you by Spring Street Bar and Grill. Tons of stuff to get into I tried to make a list, but then we started talking about Angel Reese and Cameron Brink, and we got a little distracted. So I think I got the majority of the things that were in that menage. First off, poor Lou City just could not buy a goal against Rhode Island over the weekend. And every time they made it close, like they made a late push. Dylan Maris bangs in a goal in stoppage time, and they had like 10 minutes of stoppage time. So it seemed like possible, but every time they would score a goal, they'd give one up to Rhode Island, and they'd been knocking on the door the entire game. I watched the abbreviated game on YouTube, and it's a frustrating one for the boys in purple, but still, very good year for Lou City, just somewhat of a what's the word I'm looking for here, Jeff? It's not what they've been doing all year. They've been scoring goals in bunches.
Yeah,
and just
abnormal for
abnormal.
Them.
That was the word abnormal. I was looking for. I could not think of abnormal. Good Lord, thank you. Words were hard for that one.
Words were wording.
Words were not wording there. That was rough. Of course, Stanley Cup Game 6 there. The Oilers beating
crazy.
That was a lot of fun.
It's just crazy the fact they were able to push this Game 7. After being, because like them and the Celtics were both up 3-0,
and it looked like they were out of it.
Yeah.
Like they looked completely out of it. Like they weren't scoring anything on Bobrovsky, and they were giving up goals. And it just they've absolutely turned it on.
Now, how's it 3-0 comeback ever happened in the Stanley Cup Finals before?
No.
Oh, this will be the first.
Yeah, this would be the first.
Okay,
I didn't know if it.
Okay, wow.
So yeah, that would be
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Now I'm rooting for I'm rooting for the Oilers.
I know. I'm torn because on one hand, like I do. He pisses me off, but I respect him. I love Matt Tkachuk, and also he's an American player.
Yes.
So, and I've loved Sergei Bobrovsky ever since he was with the Blue Jackets back in the day. So I have an affinity for Florida, even though they beat my Rangers. And Drew's going to be there. I want him to see a Stanley Cup winner. That said, that's like 30% of my rooting interest. The other 70%, I think I got to go with the Oilers.
It has happened before.
It has? Really? When?
Oh, I'm sure your dad will be like, yeah, of course it did. 1942, Toronto Maple Leafs.
Oh, sorry.
Came back. It was the only time, I think, in
they
sports
came back
in generals.
Really? I did not
know
that.
But that was also, it was like, it's the Leafs back then, and they haven't done anything
since.
The 40s.
Yeah,
it's true.
I apologize. I feel like I should have known that.
No. I was told that fact this weekend from, you guessed it, a Maple Leafs fan. He was like, yeah, and I was like, hey, you haven't done anything since, so let's just stop talking about them. And he's like, oh, but Matthews. And I'm like, I don't care.
No. You lost to Boston this year. No, you don't get to get chesty.
But we bring this up, the 3-0, blow it, and then go to Game 7. This happened last year, South Florida team, Miami Heat.
Yes.
But they ended up dominating Game 7.
Yeah, so when Tatum got hurt, he messed up his ankle in Game 7.
The Heat won that.
The Heat did win.
He deserved it. Who are you pulling for? I mean, because you're the Miami guy.
So I got a text, actually.
With the better hockey story, even though everyone wants to hate on Canada and they don't want a Canadian team to win and everything
that. First
it's
time,
still the better story
be the
for the Oilers.
First team to win from Canada since 93.
In Calgary, right?
No, Montreal.
That's right, Montreal.
Flames went like back to back in like the 80s. I got a text from one of my old like spring hockey teammates, and he was like, "So who do you got?" And I go, "My heart goes Panthers because I wear South Florida on my chest just because of the Heat and the Dolphins,
right?
But my brain's going with McDavid. You go win three straight, or my brain's going with the Oilers." But McDavid, because you win or you go down 3-0 and you come back and you force a Game 7. Like, I don't care what arena you're going into. And by the way, Florida is not like you're going into like a Big Ten football game, like you're going to the madhouse, like it's Florida, like they're not that, any sport there, they don't have that very dedicated fans.
Yeah, they're like 1 foot in, 1 foot out.
Yeah, yeah, like that. Yeah, like they were going, yeah. Oh, we lost. Oh, the beach is the down beach. The street.
Yeah, let's walk outside to the beach.
Yeah, I didn't even like the cold air in there, anyways. But yeah, no, my heart says Panthers. My brain's going with Oilers though. Which, but I'm not like mad either way. Like I would find it is kind of funny that because for the people that don't know, 2015 draft class, first overall Connor McDavid, second overall Eichel, and he got picked up by Buffalo, and Buffalo was so bad.
How bad were they?
They were awful, yeah. So bad, to the point where he wouldn't get surgery to fix his back because he didn't want to play. He didn't want to play in Buffalo.
They finally
so they were like, fine.
Dished him to Vegas.
Fine,
yeah.
Well, you'll go to Vegas. And then so the whole joke was, oh, like Eichel's never going to make the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. McDavid's going to have a better career. And then Eichel wins the Stanley Cup last year. And everyone was like, oh, well, Eichel's got one on McDavid. But now it would be kind of cool to see McDavid get the cup. But
I think I'm torn. I don't know what's better. I mean,
my boy Kachuk, that's my Captain America pick. Like I want him to have the C for Team USA.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with
and
that pick.
I love that the way that team plays. You know, I like because I'm a Devils fan. Like I grew up watching teams just – it might not be the sexiest game to watch, but, dude, when they're hitting you, it's tough to fight through it. But I don't know how the – Oilers have done it, but they've got forced it, and it's gonna be awesome.
Well,
I'm so happy it's Game Seven, though. Like, the hockey fan in me was like, yes.
What if they outscored them the last three games? They won 5-1, 5-3.
I think Stewart Skinner
8-1. They've outscored them. I'm doing math here, like 18-4. I think the last
Stewart
like three games.
Skinner in the last 10 periods, he's faced like, I'm pulling it out of my butt, but like 95 shots, and he's only let up like 90, or he saved 91 shots out of 95 shots against. Like he's been going off lately.
Yeah, Skinner's been playing well, and he had really not been playing that stellar throughout the entire playoffs. He just was kind of getting carried by the electric offense of McDavid and company. But no, I mean, they've turned it on. Bobrovsky was absolutely a stone wall up until game four. And then, yeah, they've put 18 goals on him the last three games. So it'll be interesting to see game seven tonight, 8 p.m. I believe that's on ESPN, or is it on ABC? It might be on ABC. But yeah, that's going to be tonight. And Drew Diener's going to be in the house. He's definitely pulling for the Panthers. My heart is going with the Oilers, and not just because of Oilers girl. I think it's just, I'm torn because on one hand, I'm not a traditionalist in hockey. Because I even though I'm an original Six fan, I love the Rangers. I think, a lot of my friends that are hockey fans don't like, you know, hockey in Vegas. They don't like hockey in Nashville. They don't like hockey in these like non-traditional markets, but in order for the game to grow.
Yeah.
I mean,
got to be where the people are.
Yeah, you got to be where the people are. And I mean, South Beach is one of the top five. You know, are they? Yeah, do they have the beach to go run off to? And so they might be fair weather. Okay, maybe a little bit, but those houses have been rocking.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like Matt Kachuk said in that Minaj. You know, it's one of the loudest rinks in the NHL when it's popping. So, yeah, I definitely think it would be good for the game for Miami to get a cup. But I think for the bigger picture, when you have a superstar like McDavid, a generational talent, it helps when those guys get rings.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, hockey's kind of big in Canada. You know, it's been a while since they've won. I think I'm pulling for the Oilers tonight. But I won't be upset if the Panthers win and Diener gets to see Florida win on home ice. So good stuff there. We had the Reds. They lost a weekend series against Tanner's Red Sox. Had the Padres in there. I don't know why. I threw the Padres in there.
I was wondering that too.
Yeah,
a little different.
Well, I don't want to constantly do Reds, Mets, Yankees. Mm. You know, I kind of want to, you know, mix in a team. And I love San Diego as a city so much. Mm. I've thought about adopting them as a team. Like, I used to love, like, Trevor Hoffman back in the day.
Yeah, Trevor
and,
Hoffman.
You know, Fernando Tatis is a lot of fun to, like, watch now. So I flirted with, like, in the NHL.
Yeah, Machado too, right?
Yeah.
And Machado, yeah.
Yeah. In the NHL, I have been, you know, a hard and fast New York hockey fan. I've somewhat cheated on the Rangers a little bit with the Islanders in the past. Don't judge me.
Okay.
But it's always been them. But I have...
I'm in the same boat. I still wear Islanders stuff because I get it for free.
Yeah, so it's, you know, I mean, back when the Rangers were terrible and the Islanders had Michael Pekka and Alexi Yashin, I might have been an Islanders fan for a little while. It might have happened. But no, like, I've been steadfast in the East, but in the West, I've cheated on... I'm a Western hockey whore. It's been the Kings. I went through a Kings phase. You know, I was pulling for Vegas. You know, I was a big time Predators fans when they were going up against the Pens. When it comes to West Coast hockey, I'm kind of all over the map. But I've kind of thought about doing the same thing with baseball. So okay. I thought about maybe rooting for the A's just because, you know, as a hipster team. But I don't think, when you're a minor league organization, I don't know if I can do that.
It's not much to root for, you can say you do it.
There's not much. Biscuit already has, the A's claim to fame. So we got that. What else do we have in there? Yankees and Braves, Ence's Bravos beat Pops's, or Andy. Well, Andy Sweeney's the bigger Yankees fan. The Valvanos are more of a Mets household, but we do love the Yankees too. Again, New York Coors. The Bravos beat the Yankees. We had Tennessee evening up the College World Series with Texas A&M. Again, that decisive game 3 will be tonight, 7 p.m. Have you been following the Jello Shot Challenge?
Somewhat. I've lost track over the weekend, so I didn't see. I saw Texas A&M had a big lead at one point, and I don't know if anybody's...
Well, I will tip my hat to the Batcats. Even after they got eliminated, they now have, I think, a respectable third place.
Okay.
With about just over 6,000 Jello shots, but it's emerged into or devolved into a two-horse race now. Of Texas A&M and Tennessee, obviously. They each have like 22,000.
Oh,
and
God.
I think it was only, seriously, I think the last time I looked, it was only about 30 Jello shots separating the two of them.
Ooh,
so
okay.
I'm assuming now everybody, all the other teams, have decided to back a horse.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're both from the same conference, so, you know, there's no, you know, loyalties there. So I don't know necessarily. I don't know if you're a Kentucky fan. I mean, you've got to be back in Texas A&M, right? I mean, you hate Tennessee.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to think that. But I don't know where the other teams that might still be lingering around, where they might fall, their loyalties might lie. But, yeah, so the Jello Shot Challenge. They're both, 22,000 plus in there. So that's pretty good stuff. Had a little WNBA in there. Mm-hmm. Had Angel Reese's Chicago Sky beating Caitlin Clark's Indiana Fever by a point. Heard from both of them after the game. I go back and forth on Angel Reese. Sometimes she's the villainest villain in my eyes. Then she says cool stuff like that. Like, yeah. I'm a baller. I'm from Baltimore. And I'm like, damn, you're so cool. Like, I go back and forth with her. Like, and I also, and I said this, I think she's gorgeous. You know, I just do. And that adds to marketability,
yes,
which we've talked about, whether you like it or not. Mm-hmm. Not saying I think Caitlin Clark's ugly by any stretch. I think that, like, Angel Reese is strikingly pretty.
And she puts the outfits together. Like,
yeah.
You could tell she takes time either with a stylist or she's very fashionable herself. Puts time into
she's
her
like
outfit.
The Russell Westbrook of like the WNBA.
Yeah, she puts time into her outfits. Yeah, you know, and she knows that walk is coming with the cameras and the videos, and so she wants to look, especially games against Caitlin, which they seem to play like every other day.
Yeah, seriously. And if I'm the WNBA, I'm kind of
keep doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like every other weekend. Yeah, yeah, like it's going to be Sky and Fever. Yeah, for sure. So
and they both play better against each other. Like, they upped their game. Like, Angel Reese had an amazing game. Caitlin Clark had a great game. Like, and it came down to the wire. Like, there was. Yeah, I if they could play once a week, why not?
Like, why seriously? Not? Well, I mean, yeah, absolutely. Make a season series between the two of them. I don't know. Maybe it was because, like I said, I was kind of in the mountains. I was a little unplugged for most of the weekend. But this was the first weekend I feel like we got away from the nonsense a little bit of the whole Caitlin Clark stuff. And we just looked at two baller players, generational talents, doing what they do best, and that's playing basketball. And that's what I feel like. For God's sake, that's just what we wanted from the jump.
Yes.
You know, we didn't want any of the other drama.
Am I wrong, though? I feel like it's been the 15th time that the Fever and the Sky have played against each other.
No, that's what we're saying. That's what we're saying. Yeah, it seems like
and I was like, I swear they played last week.
No, they definitely played last week. They played last week for sure. It's like, I feel like you said, it's like they play every week. And typically you get some kind of storyline non-basketball related from it. But this week it was... Angel Reese went 26-13. Caitlin went 17-13. Or I think Angel Reese went 25-16. And then Caitlin went 17-13. So it was
with a bunch of assists.
Yeah, like the 13 being the assist. And it's these ladies, like when we quit talking about BS, like they just hoop. Like they're really, really good basketball players.
Like Angel Reese said, I just hoop. Yeah.
Like they're good basketball players. They're going to – their play with their swag and stuff is going to continue to grow the game. It's awesome.
No,
and they did it in front of a sold-out crowd.
Yeah, that was really cool to see. And like it was so nice that it didn't have to get tainted with stupid BS. So good stuff. Shout out to the WNBA and those two there. I didn't put this in there, but I'm excited because it is an Olympic year.
Yes.
I feel like we haven't really talked much about the Olympics.
Oh, I was watching it last night.
But Sha'Carri Richardson winning the 100 meters.
Yes.
We got robbed of her in the last Olympics. Yes. And if you want to take her to task for the marijuana thing, fine. You know, but
you can say she smoked her competition there.
I was so sad to see her not compete in the last Olympics. And so for her to punch her ticket this go around, I mean, she's only 24. So,
yeah, she's
you know,
a beast,
she is a lot of fun. She's so much fun to watch. Yes. Like when people are that fast, like it's just poetic watching them run. Like,
yeah, she's always like her times could always be faster, but she celebrates like the last 10 meters.
She
like
does the Usain Bolt thing.
Yeah, she gets to celebrate.
And the other thing,
she's awesome.
Like to me, like she and I don't know enough about track, but I'm impressed with the fact she's a little bit on the smaller side.
Mm-hmm.
So it just looks like she's that much faster.
Yeah, her legs are just she's not very tall. So like, so typically like sometimes with some of the elite track runners, some of them can be a little taller. They get longer strides,
right?
But she's not like she's very petite and short, like not very tall at all. But she be moving, man.
Oh, that's the thing. It's so much fun watching it. Like she reminds me of like a cartoon character with the little, you know, the little, you know,
she typically has like the nails, the glam, the hair.
Yeah, she's got a cool look too,
orange or whatever. Like she's got a sweat aura.
Yeah, that's a good way to say that.
Yeah,
absolutely. Noah Lyles also,
he's a beast too. I watched him last night.
Punched his ticket to the Olympics and pulling out Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
Yes,
that was I don't know much about Yu-Gi-Oh, but I know what a blue eyes white dragon. Is.
Yes.
It's like the Charizard of like, you know, Yu-Gi-Oh. So that was pretty cool.
He did it last night.
Yeah, he did
in
like
his finals. I don't know what it was.
Epoxia or something like that. I don't know. I don't know my Yu-Gi-Oh. I watched the Abridged series a little bit, but I don't know much about it. But anyone who pulls out a Yu-Gi-Oh card and then smokes his competition is A-okay with me. So had that in there. Good stuff.
That reminds me. Michael Venom Page fights this weekend versus Ian Garry. And you like brought up Yu-Gi-Oh and that made me think of Pokemon. Michael Venom Page once cracked his opponent's skull with a flying knee.
Oh yeah, and then threw
a pokeball and then did the ass catch 'em all kind of thing.
I mean, if you get knocked out and then someone throws a pokeball at you,
I would retire. I'd be like, I'm just gonna go into real estate now.
Yeah, just like at that point.
That was embarrassing.
Oh, what a great selly. So yeah, that'll be fun. Anytime anime gets sprinkled into sports, I always enjoy that. Scottie Scheffler talking about the protesters that came out. I think Super 70 Sports had the best tweet about that, saying you can't startle an ex-felon like that. You're lucky you didn't get chivved. I didn't know this, but Zach told me in the hallway that Super 70 Sports, Ricky Cobb, we've had him on the show a handful of times, really nice guy, is, I guess he got hired by Outkick.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I am Nikki the Lib. I'm not the biggest fan of Outkick, but I might have to give them a little bit of a look-see if they're hiring my boy Ricky Cobb.
Got to tune in a little bit more.
I mean,
seriously, it's going against Nikki the Lib, man.
My Libness, I think I'll put it aside because I mean, anyone who follows Super 70 Sports, he's one of my favorite.
Awesome. He's awesome.
He's one of my favorites. So that's awesome stuff there. Lauren Hartledge, Louisville zone, U of L zone, at least. She's from E-Town, comes in the top five in the Women's PGA Championship. Mm-hmm. So that was cool stuff there. It's always nice having, you know, JT gets a lot of love with good reason, but, you know, Adam Hadwin has, you know, made some splashes on the male PGA side. We'll see if Lauren Hartledge can do the same. Both Cardinal alums. So good performance from her. She, I think went into the last day, in second place and struggled a little bit early in the round, but she managed to still pull off a top five finish
in
the women's PGA. So good stuff there. That's about everything I wrote down because, like I said, we were talking a lot about Angel Reese and everything. but, it was a pretty exciting weekend that was in sports. Did anything jump out at you? Anything you think I might have missed in the menage, Jeff? Was there anything that you saw? What was the best thing in sports you saw over the weekend?
Well, the best thing I saw in sports over the weekend was local. I love seeing the J.J. Weaver camp that took place on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about this. Yeah,
so he had his camp that took place over at Moore High School. A bunch of the he was in here with Strebel on Friday.
Good
he
interview.
Had a good time. And then he went out and had his camp. A bunch of kids, hundreds of kids were out there. He's going to do a bike drive in July, so that was cool. I also saw the Camp Rondo concluded this weekend, too. And he always does a good job. I think he's been, I mean, Camp Rondo's been all around. I went to the very first Camp Rondo when I was like 9.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still, I'm 28 now.
That is really cool that he's still doing that.
Yeah,
that's
man,
really
it's like
cool.
20 years running. Like, this has been going for, I mean, a long, I mean, maybe I was like 13. I don't know. But I was young. And this has been going on for a long time. So shout out to Rajon Rondo. They had that. And then this is like camp season. Like, all of the camps take place, like, during this time. I know, Camp D'Lo, D'Angelo Russell's camp starts tomorrow. Rondale Moore's got a football camp on Friday. Nate Hobbs announced his camp is going to happen in July. Devontae Parker's camp is going to happen in July. So there's a bunch of camps all around the city. Hopefully we get some of them on as guests.
I was
going to
say, that's what I was about to say. It's like, Jeff, you know,
working on some things. I think we'll be able to get at least a couple of those guys on here.
Excellent.
Between now and the start of their camp. So, but yeah, it's camp season. Plenty of things to do for, you know, the youth, the children of the city of Louisville in, you know, Southern Indiana as well. Cause I know Rondale's camp is happening in New Albany. So it's pretty cool, man.
Oh, it's very cool. It's a good point. We were talking about this during the commercial break. I mean, the city is really kind of blessed with, it's some pretty elite NFL and NBA talent, you know, coming back and doing camps. I mean, I'd like to think that pound for pound, Louisville has the best camps for any city.
And
that's pretty strong.
And most of them are, besides the basketball camps, because their camps are like a week long. Mm-hmm. So those you typically have to pay for. But there's always like discounts. They're giving away, you know, certain things. But the football camps, because they're one day, are like always free.
That's
like,
awesome.
They're always free. You always get T-shirts and food and all kinds of stuff. So like, some of them you have to register ahead of time. Others you can register day of. But it is, I mean, it's amazing for, it's like there's never no excuse not to do something.
Right.
Like, because there's always going to be an opportunity for your child to do something during the summer and to be around like high level professional athletes.
Right.
You know, high level collegiate athletes, high level professional athletes. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Good stuff for the city. Shout out to all those athletes putting them on. That's very cool stuff. And hope if you have a kid going out to that, do a search and, you know, register, get them out there.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool stuff to be able to do that.
Even Desmond Ritter had a camp like last week or a week
ago. Right.
So it was like, man, and he's once again another NFL player.
Another
like,
NFL.
And it happened right over at St. X. So it's awesome, man. I love this time of the year for, you know, the youth to get out and get a chance to meet, you know, some of these guys, these pro athletes, and see how hard it, you know, it is to get to that level. And now with the NIL, the collegiate players can have camp. So that's why the JJ camp is a big deal. Because
right.
He, you know, when he was a young guy, he even said it, like, NIL wasn't a thing, so collegiate athletes couldn't have camps like this. It was only like Rondo. That was it. And then now you have, you know, JJ Weaver. I've seen the Minkins. Josh Minkins has done a couple of camps that I've been to in the past while he's in college. So that door is also really, really cool. It gives, you know, kids from all across the country more things to do during the summer.
Yeah, that's awesome. I that's a good point, the NIL aspect. I had some friends that would, you know, I was a part-time college athlete, you know, with the club hockey. But I had friends that, you know, were on the varsity teams, and they were able to make money by attending these camps as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was sort of like a way that they could, but they weren't able to fully profit off of their name, you know, they couldn't advertise that, you know, hey, come to this camp and be caught by, you know, Steve Stevenson, you know, the starting, you know, safety for, you know, something. So it's that is a cool aspect that now these kids can make profit even more off of their name.
And then use their profits, because like a lot of times with these camps, because they're free, they don't make any money, but they're able to use their connections, sponsors and stuff, and give stuff away.
Right.
Like, so that's what's like JJ, his bike drive he did last year, he said he gave away 120 bikes.
That's fantastic.
And he's going to do it again this year. So he did it last year in Louisville. This year he's going to do it in Lexington, and he plans on giving it away another 120 to 150 bikes.
That's really cool.
So that's
awesome, cool stuff. So yeah, not only are they profiting, they're giving back to the community as well. So very good stuff there. Bottom of the hour, we'll take a break, but real fast, I want to give everyone some information about about our friends at Universal Windows Direct. Summer's here, and it's only going to get hotter. Do not cool off the outside of your house this year. Call our guys at Universal Windows Direct. Superspacer technology helps keep the edge of the glass warmer, holds the window seal longer, and makes the windows last up to 5 times longer than any other window system. So your windows from Universal Windows Direct perform better and last longer. Plus, Universal Windows Direct backs it up with a true lifetime warranty as long as you own the home and a 20-year warranty to the next homeowner. Call Universal Windows Direct today, 502-487-5099. That's 502-487-5099. And for every two windows you buy, get two free. Buy two, get two. Buy four, get four. Buy 20, get 20. There's no limit. Plus 0% financing for 36 months. Updating your windows with Universal Windows Direct means extra protection from the elements and a consistent temperature in your home, increased energy efficiency and reduced heating and cooling costs, plus a quieter and more comfortable home. Call 502-487-5099 to schedule your free in-home estimate today. And for every two windows you buy, you get the next two free, plus 0% financing for 36 months. That's 3 years. Restrictions apply. Tell them that we told you to call and get an additional $250 off your project. For the last windows you'll ever need, go to UWD.com. Like me, you'll be saying, I love my windows. More V-Show on the other side. Jeff Lightsey Jr., Nick Valiano, Tanner Brunemesso, and for Bobby V, it's ESPN 680 105.7.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here, on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And have you had their peach? Their peach ale 8 is, like, my favorite soda.
Okay.
It's legitimately my favorite soda.
Gotcha.
The blackberry, or the, the blackberry, and their other, like, summer seasonal flavor, really good, too. But peach ale 8. It's peachy.
Noted.
You can make some really good cocktails.
Noted. Tell me. I have to remember that.
Yeah, no, seriously. Like, we made this like peach Bellini with it. Oh, dude, it was so good. It was so good. We are back. It's the V-Show. Wow, the music just like shut off right there. Yeah. There it is.
My fingers.
Yeah, it has a pause.
Yeah. Okay. It was just, oh, okay. It was like that, just like a beat drop? Yeah. Or I was like, oh, okay. It's like, whoa now. V-Show rolling along here. Jeff Lightsey Jr., Nick Valvano, Tanner Brunemesso, and for Bobby V today. Tanner's going to pee. He just told me that in my ear. So we should ask for a bunch of sound right now.
Yeah, right now.
And just completely truck him up. Just completely mess him up. That'd be awesome. We do have some Josh Hurd sound. We can maybe play some clips from that in the next hour or so. But we want to talk a little bit about the U of L athletic budget. Josh Hurd met the media last week. Was that Friday? I believe it was Friday. Thursday or Friday?
Yes,
It was one of the days I was out.
Yeah.
He met the media and just kind of broke down what the budget would be. I believe it was $145 million. Yeah, $145 million athletic budget they approved on Friday. As part of the story on WDRB.com, there is a chart kind of breaking down the revenue and compensation from all the different U of L athletic sports. I was interested to see the revenue what it was of the five sports that actually generated revenue. And I know you got the chart in front of you. I was going to quiz you on it, but I'm sure you would have guessed the same way Blank did this morning. Baseball, football, men's and women's basketball, and volleyball were the only sports that generated revenue. That's not a swipe at any of the other sports by any stretch. Just is what it is. But the numbers that kind of stood out to me. First off, football not being the top revenue generating sport. Men's basketball, even with all the doldrums that have been the past 2 years with the Kenny Payne experience, still generating almost $26 million.
Crazy.
More.
That's crazy to just say it out loud.
Seriously. Like, I mean, you're having like the two like most down years in program history.
It's crazy that we even made a profit. $26 million, you said?
That 25,806,780.
So pretty much
Yeah, is the official number.
Damn.
Football made 24,414,854. So, interesting. An interesting figure there stands out to me. And Josh Hurd on talking about some of the other finances. And how there's gonna have to be, they have to come up with $20 million to pay student athletes as part of that agreement. Where some of that revenue might come from, of course, is one of the major questions. But mentioning that they anticipate basketball to do better these next couple of years, and you got to think, God, I hope so. even if, and I certainly don't think, I have no evidence to believe that this would be the case, even if it's another couple of rough years for men's basketball, there is going to be that influx of attendance for at least year one of Coach Kelsey. I firmly believe that it's going to be they're going to be on the uptick in a hurry. Another story that was from the weekend was the Bahamas trip officially being announced. So we're going to see them in action, I believe, late July. In a international tour to the Bahamas. Not sure yet who they're playing. I haven't heard anything on that front yet.
It'll more than likely be some version of a national team. Maybe not their senior national team, like the team going to the Olympics, but
you know, the junior national team or something
C-team,
like that.
You know, the collegiate
U19 or something along those lines. So it'll be some form of that. Even with all the doldrums of the Kenny Payne basketball era here, Louisville basketball, men's basketball, still the top generating revenue source for U of L athletics. I do think it's interesting. This is just strictly going off of revenue. This doesn't take into account media rights deals, or anything along those lines. So, but another thing that kind of jumped out at me. Was that volleyball is 850,000?
A big number.
I knew that there was definitely some that they were one of the lucrative ones, but it kind of to me like just a quick sidebar looking at this, to me that was like evidence that I really think that there needs to be a volleyball centric arena. You know, I know that right now we're talking about where they're going to get the $20 million to pay the student athletes, where's the money coming from? I don't know if necessarily now is a great time to build, but maybe it's a sense of being penny wise and dollar foolish, but I looked at that and I was like, they're generating almost $1 million playing in the tiny LNN, credit arena.
And for their big matches, they move over to the Yum. It's only a few of those.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. But if they were to, you got to think that if they were to get a bigger arena, then they would sell that out. You're right. And then maybe still, and they haven't slowed up any momentum. The other one, baseball, was 215,000. I kind of wonder if that could be a little higher because baseball hasn't exactly been great the past couple years.
215 was drastic. That was the number I just didn't. I didn't know what baseball revenue generates. I didn't think volleyball 4X'd it though.
Yeah.
Like four times the the revenue
that's
generated.
That's what I'm saying. I was the same thing. Like if anything I would I don't know why I would have thought this, but maybe just because it's the smaller arena.
Yeah.
I would have thought those numbers would have been like, flipped.
Yeah.
I would have thought baseball would have generated it, and they also play so many damn games.
Yeah, I remember when we first saw this, it was on Friday with Blank. That's how I know it came out on Friday. When I first saw this, now obviously I didn't know I didn't know a baseball revenue. But I wouldn't have guessed under $500,000.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed under half. But then it's half of that.
Yeah,
like,
seriously.
What I mean? Like, it's half of that.
That number jumped out at me. I'm with you.
And if it was volleyball, I wouldn't have guessed anything over $500,000.
Yeah,
like,
right.
There's no way I would have been like, maybe $350,000. Like, I don't know. Like, I wouldn't have known. And so to see that number is abnormally large. Because even the thing about the baseball,
yes, they've missed the tournament 3 out of the last 4 years, but they haven't just been god awful.
No,
like
right.
They still had winning. They've been above 500. They haven't been, you know, College World Series super regional hosting type of team, but they haven't been awful. So this number isn't far off from what their max could be. I think that's a good point. If you're in a super regional, if you're a College World Series type of team, I don't. If with this number being 215, I don't. It doesn't. As good as they could possibly be, it still doesn't hit the half a million mark. Right. You know, it still doesn't do anything when comparison to like the volleyball team. Yeah. Like volleyball's at 850, you could probably get to a million next year in revenue. Like
probably.
Because with the Nationals coming here, another great team, another year of knowing about it, another year of publicity promotion, and I just think too, when your heavy hitter sports are doing well, I think it helps everybody.
Yeah, right.
So with football being back on track, they won 10 games last year. They look like they're going to have another great season this year. And women's basketball just brought in one of their best recruiting classes ever.
Ever, right.
And they still have their continuity. They had a down year because they made the Elite Eight 6 straight years last year.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, their down year was still a 6th seed in the tournament. And then with men's basketball, whatever net positive you can get from them,
right,
is going to, I think, help everyone. And so I think this volleyball number goes up. I'd imagine this baseball number goes up because I just think they have to get back on track. As much as you're paying your head coach this $3 million renovation to Jim Patterson Stadium, like, you have to do better. Like, yeah. if we're going to dish out $3 million to make some upgrades at your stadium, we need to see some ROI on that, right?
Right.
So that is, I do think those numbers to go up, but what the biggest number with men's basketball still being the biggest revenue maker in all the athletics surprises most people. And I
especially
think
after that, such a great year with football, too.
Exactly.
Where you kind didn't you have an additional home game like or something? I don't know if you
didn't have an additional home game because the conference championship game was in Charlotte, but you had extra, like, you were always playing for something
right.
every week of the season.
IU game, how did they split the revenue for that one?
That game was neutral site, you know, that was in Indiana. IU had to buy themselves out of that game. I think they just, I don't know how they did it with it being at Lucas Oil, I'm not sure.
Right.
But I knew that IU had to buy themselves out of the remaining years on that contract because there was a contract.
No, yeah, I remember the buyout being, you know, mentioned, but I'm saying that they, because of that neutral site game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not sure
like
how split,
they probably got some additional revenue from that. Mm-hmm. So it was a great,
as opposed to just being a road game.
Right,
so, yeah.
Right. It was. I'm saying that it was a great U of L football season.
Mm-hmm.
You had the additional revenue from that neutral site game.
Yes,
and you still by almost $2 million had less than the men's basketball revenue, and it was a terrible season.
Now, part of the men's basketball revenue, if I'm not mistaken, somebody correct me on the text line, I know they will, part of that is because U of L men's basketball, they get a piece of everything that comes through the Yum Center.
Okay, I was going to ask about that.
So that's how you're making up from – that's why U of L, when you're good, like, they lap the field in men's basketball revenue because – this is most of this money is coming from things like UFC,
right?
WWE, like all the events,
concerts, and everything.
All the events that took place at the Yum Center, and so. But this number is astronomical when you have 15,000 to 20,000 in the building every time,
right?
Now this number balloons
to the five that was
exactly
the season, right,
because this number balloons up, and that's why when you see the biggest revenue generators in men's college basketball, it's like Louisville up here, and then the next closest Duke, Kentucky,
right,
or whoever is like $10 to $15 million short, and it's like, man, what is that big old gap? It's because of the luxury of the Yum Center getting a piece of everything that comes through there. So that's why it's significant. Because, yeah, it's good for those concerts and you just still, but your budget is dependent on having butts in the seats during games.
Right.
Not just during concerts, events, and stuff like that. Because this number, yeah, it's a solid number. It's more than your football. But it could be $10 to $15 million more
if the basketball itself,
when you're actually good.
You're not relying on the ancillary products at the Yum Center. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, how does the women's basketball factor in? Is that just strictly women's basketball?
It's strictly women's basketball.
Strictly women's basketball.
They're like, hey man, we can't give you a piece to both of them.
Yeah, right.
Like
right.
You guys are one and the same. You're all under the same athletic umbrella. It just is directed towards men's basketball, but everybody gets insulated from it, essentially.
Well, it will be interesting to see if you know, Louisville football has another good year. And the basketball, like, it's one of like the rising tide lifts all boats. Like, I kind of wonder if those numbers are going to be reflected as higher revenue for baseball. And here's the other thing. I almost wonder, will volleyball be higher or will it be a little bit lower? Because I almost kind of feel like volleyball's number might have been positively influenced by the struggles of the basketball team, in the sense that Louisville fans were like, we want something fun to root for. Like, I wonder how much, you know what I'm saying?
That's
like,
a good point.
I wonder how much of that was actually, you know, because they were the only fun show in town.
Well, the thing
besides the women's basketball, but you get my point.
Yeah, I don't think you lose fans because now, if you didn't know, now you know how great they are.
Yeah, that's
like,
a good point.
It's like, that, now that's you a know how great they are. It's like, oh, I'm locked in now. Right. Like, because that's the thing. Like, basketball still may or may not be, we assume it's going to be up, right? But it may or may not have its struggles in itself. But their volleyball team, I know, is going to be great. Yeah. Like, I don't have to worry about if they're gonna, like, they're going to be a perennial top five team in the country.
Yeah.
Like, they're that good. And so
they're confident in the, because, I mean, they're scheduling those, what, that volleyball showcase. They're playing the top, the Wisconsins, the Nebraskas.
Because they're that good.
Yeah,
because
they're still in that category.
And so that's why it's like, I don't think they're going to. And their tickets, because their arena is so small, it's like impossible to get.
Seriously.
Like, it's like really, really hard to get. And so that's another thing. Oh, I may let my tickets go this year. And like, I do want to go to that game and they're already snatched up.
Right.
Like, there is no, like, I may hesitate to get the tickets. Like, I got to get them because, you know, Coach Dana over there is going to have them ready, and they're going to be winning a ton of games, and they're trying to win a national championship that'll be played right here.
Yeah. So that, which is going to be, God, awesome. If they can make that, if they can make another
Final
run.
Four,
Oh, God, the city will be absolutely jumping. Other things, other numbers that are, I think that jumped out at me. It said here, U of L absorbed $5.24 million in costs associated with firing men's basketball coach Kenny Payne and hiring his replacement Pat Kelsey, and will incur $2.5 million in the continuation of those costs next year. Again, these are things that get added to that $20 million that they need to pay the student athletes. Other names from the past, that was the other thing. This was a little bit of a walk down memory lane.
Yeah, it was.
$893,000 was paid last year to Chris Mack, and he'll get $521,290 this year. And they also made a final payment of $2 million to John Schnatter as a result of the termination of his naming rights deal for the Louisville football stadium. So again, it was another like walk down. I was like, oh, I forgot about that. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Oh yeah, yeah, no, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, I forgot about. And then there was something else in here that I thought was interesting, talking about the bonuses for the UofL football team. The ACC championship game, of course, costs money, $400,000 in additional expenses for the program. The coaching staff performance bonuses were $750,000. So I kind of was like, wow, so that's another $1.5 million, basically, I'm rounding, obviously, for fees for a good football season. Yeah. So
good problems to have.
Again, good problems to have 100%. But when you add that to the $20 million that you have to pay the students now, when you add that.
Well, that doesn't go into effect till next year.
True. Also true.
And so they're essentially.
But they're already making cuts.
Well, that's the point. Because you're preparing, the work of a good leader is to prepare for what's coming.
Right.
Like, if you, especially since you know it's coming, like, you have a tentative date, July of 25, to like, hey, have my budget in order to take on this additional cost. And so I have to prep by whether it's, cutting staff or rearranging money or budgeting for, football to do this, men's basketball to do this, women's basketball. Everybody that contributes money, I want to budget for what money that they can contribute.
Right.
In addition to whatever media rights or as people get to selling, field rights or whatever, because, all that stuff's coming. In addition to that, I want to get as close to that number as possible before those things. And so, therefore, when those things, meaning the media rights, kicks in, and then they're probably put a logo or something on the field and all that stuff. Like, before that, I have my money, if close, if not all the way there before then. That way, this stuff is profitability.
Because
still, you got to turn a profit in order to be a successful athletics department.
As opposed to playing catch up and everything, for sure. And I think I read somewhere that they've already made about $5 million in budget cuts to the athletic department. I think I remember seeing that. I'm trying to find the exact. This all on WDRB.com has a great story from Eric Crawford breaking down all of this. So good stuff from there. And I want to give a shout out to them, because that's the story I'm using to you know, address this stuff. This was something that jumped out at me, and maybe you can help me figure this out. The department received $7.9 million in campus support in 2024 and expects to make $5.8 million in 2025. How is it going down $3 million?
As far as campus support?
As far as campus support, because I feel like right now with Pat Kelsey, and you know, I mean, there's as big a fervor around U of L athletics as there's been in 3 years. If you were able to get almost $8 million in campus support last year.
So is that in reference just to what the university is paying the athletics department? Because I think that's what that is referring to.
Well, I'm not sure.
Okay,
I'm not sure.
So
like, that's
I know,
the thing that like that $3 million. I was like, that's a decent chunk of change.
So
like,
what I think that is referring to is the fact that the university. I know they made a one-time payment of $5 million. That was part of this article. I don't have the full article in front of me. I know they made a one-time payment of $5 million, and there may be another one-time payment coming down the line. And I think what that is saying is that we don't want to budget to continue to take money from the school, from the university,
right,
or we want that number to come down. Like
okay.
we want to be able to make more money this football season, this basketball season. That way our number from the university goes down as far as what we get from them. Because
okay.
the budgets are different. The university has a budget. Athletics has its own budget. Because
okay.
the athletics budget is so big, we're talking $150 million roughly.
Right.
And the university has a budget. Who knows what that number is, right? Like, so
right.
you probably have to get an open records request to get whatever that number
yeah.
is. And so it's like, okay.
I hope someone does that. I'm yeah. way too lazy to do that, but I hope someone does. Because I am curious about that.
Yeah, and so they're like, okay, we want to be able to take less from the school because we made more doing what we do.
Okay.
So made more during the football season, made more during the men's basketball season, made just more, if not the same, during women's basketball season. Because the thing about this women's basketball number, this is like one of the highest numbers in the country, too.
Right.
Now, it's, yeah, it looks minuscule next to football and men's basketball, but
it's still very respectable.
It's a, I mean, 1.4, 1.5 million.
Nothing to sneeze at.
And, like, not every women's basketball collegiate team turns a profit. Like,
right.
or has revenue. Like, a lot of places, you see where these dashes, there's nothing.
Yeah.
That's what the women's basketball
yeah,
is
no,
for a
sure.
lot of places. So to,
and it's the third highest revenue
exactly.
sport.
Exactly. And so that matters when you, like, they sell more tickets than a lot of men's teams in the ACC.
Mm.
Like, on a per-game basis. Like, they damn sure have more than the men's here in the per-game basis.
Yeah.
With, theirs is about 7,500 average. The men's last year were about 5,000 average. The year before was probably around 7,000 average. So, like, yeah, the ladies, they kill it. They're, like, top five men's and women's in the entire conference. Like, so they're a beast there. And so those are the things they expect to go up and therefore take less from the actual school.
Okay, that makes sense. And also, Josh Hurd, and we have some sound we can play next hour. I mean, he did make mention of donor fatigue and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he wants to be cognizant of that. So I guess that does
yeah.
make sense in taking less from the school. And I'd like to see where their budget cuts come from because
yeah.
I mean, Louisville has already, yeah, it says they expect to trim $5 million in athletic operating costs in 2025 and a reduction of capital spending by $2 million. On the revenue side, the budget projects a nearly $2 million revenue increase in seat licenses, a $2.2 million increase in unrestricted gifts, a $3 million increase in sponsorships, and a $4.7 million increase in conference and NCAA revenue. Now, I got to think that they've got to be in those $3 million increase in sponsorships and $4.7 million increase in conference and NCAA revenue. That has to be... To me, is that like the on-court advertising you got to think?
Yes.
So on-field advertising. Yeah.
Sponsorships or the stuff that plays on the video boards and around the arenas. Seat licenses mean in certain sections, you know, at the football team, they added those little seats that are like on the field.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they added those. So somebody will pay to get their name on there.
Right.
Or to get shouted out during the game about that during commercial timeouts.
Yeah, the UPS
and stuff.
Premium yes. section, something along
all
those lines.
All of that stuff. And so those are the things that they plan. Okay, we plan on adding more revenue as far as our sponsorships on the seat, you know, imaging, all this stuff, because we got to continue to make that money. Like you said, that $20 million bill is coming.
Right.
Now, that's not to say that you will spend but that's the number that the NCAA has allowed. So that's another thing, too. You don't technically have to spend $20 million, $20 to $22 million, whatever it is. But the thing is, if you don't, somebody else is.
Right.
So that hinders your ability to get players. That's essentially what it's saying. It's essentially that's a good point. Like, yeah, because every, I mean, my alma mater, WKU's not going to have $20 million to spend on getting football players, essentially because that's where the money's going.
Right.
To football and basketball players. They don't have $20 million to do that. So they're going to be at a disadvantage as opposed to an Alabama or a Louisville right. or something. But they have always been at that disadvantage. So it's like it's no different for them. But for U of L, if you want to continue to lodge yourself as one of the premier basketball programs, whether it's men or women, or to continue to elevate as a football program, you're going to have to spend
$20 million.
$20 million.
Well, now, is it one of those things? Is it like an at least $20 million, or did they cap it?
No, I think they capped it at 20.
They capped it at 20. Okay, yeah. So I wasn't sure because I could definitely see in another 5 years.
No, yeah.
You know, it being a different amount of money.
So they capped it at $20 million, but then you remember there's no cap on the collectives. That's another. Right. So that's a totally separate thing. And so the schools are going to be dishing out money up to $20 million, and then the collectives will still have their chests, whatever that number is for them, to be able to help, or however they do it, you know, they'll be working
amplify it a little bit more,
working in conjunction with each other to make sure everything is on the same page.
Wow, it's still kind of foreign to just be talking like it. I mean, like, as much as, like, you know, it's, you know, we say NIL, like, I mean, that's the most, I think, used phrase in college athletics
easily.
Right now. Right.
Because it's how you get your players.
Yeah.
Like, obviously you can tell them how you're going to use them, how much playing time they're going to get, all that stuff. But at the end of the day, everybody's going to have, like, that same shtick. Right? Yeah. Like, everybody's got a way to use, especially if you're this five-star kid or you're a high four-star or whatever. Everybody has a way. They're going to use you and they're going to tell you whether they mean it or not, get you on the field early and this and this and that. And so at the end of the day, it's like, okay, we're all kind of saying the same thing. I know my skill set. I know which coach works best for my skill set. But what is the number we're talking
about? Yeah, right, what is the number? Exactly.
How bad do you want me?
Yeah.
And that's why it matters. Yeah. And that's how the game is played right now.
No, absolutely. I do still think that coaching and relationships and everything like that, they still matter.
Yes,
they still 100%. Matter. But it's not the only show in town anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's so, like, it's so weird. Like, I'm still getting used to the idea that, wow, they're actually going to get paid.
Yes.
Like, you know.
And they're getting paid. Yeah, not going to. They're getting
paid.
No,
but I mean from the schools.
Oh, yeah, now that's
that's still,
it,
like,
is crazy.
Yeah, like that
was like
is
a
still,
big no-no. Like, oh, yeah. Man, no.
As you said, we're doing the song and dance and tap dancing around it with the NIL, but now it's just like, no, yeah, you're going to get both. You're going to get the NIL. And you're going to get, you know, what is $20 million from the school.
But that's why more regulation is coming.
Yeah, like, that's the other thing.
Like, when we're talking about, you know, $150 million in budgets, and now you're, like, this is right now. U of L's, but, you know, was $145 million.
Right.
And now I'm getting a $20 million bill, essentially. I can't have this $20 million bill, but not know if this guy's going to stick with me.
Yeah, right.
For longer than a semester.
Yeah.
Like, because with the current transfer portal rules, if he stays a semester and don't like it, or if she stays a semester and don't like it, she's out.
Yeah. I mean, but there's going to be buyouts for athletes.
Yeah. So
there's going to be contract buyouts.
Absolutely. Because that is one thing when, and it's going to sound horrible, but it's one thing when a guy or gal stays for a semester, but it's out of our pockets, meaning the fans.
Right.
It's another thing when it's out of the university's pocket.
Yeah, now all of a sudden.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I think regulation is definitely coming.
Yeah, I think it is. And I think even the most ardent pro player people are, I mean, kind of coming to terms with the fact that, okay, like, it swayed. It was terrible for years and decades that the athlete had no power. Now it's like, okay, well, we need to regulate it a little bit because, you know, I'm for every, like, Penny Boone-esque, you know, thing that happens, it does leave a little bad taste in the mouth of the fans.
Absolutely.
As well as the university. Mm. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I just think a collective bargaining agreement and maybe like a commissioner or
it's
something. I think, like, that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you look at it in the same story in Josh Hurd's press conference, I mean, he makes note of the revenue of the major sports and college athletics. While there are tons of college athletics, I think was second only to the NFL. I think it was, what, $13.9 billion, I think, was college athletics.
Yeah. You get $1 billion on March Madness alone.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. So, I mean,
and this is without the college football playoff, because that doesn't get incorporated in there.
That's a good point.
You know, it's its own separate thing. If you add
and
it,
we
that,
know
you
that's
a lot closer.
Multi-billion dollar, I mean,
and
literally
its own,
billion-dollar television deal from ESPN, which there's no way they made that money back, but still, it was they were willing to pay it. If someone's willing to pay it, that means, you know, you're worth that. Yeah, here it is. Let's see here. 2022 collegiate revenue was $13.6 billion, second only to the NFL. Major League Baseball was $10.9 billion. NBA, $9.9 billion. NHL, baby, $7 billion. There we go. Look at us. I was very happy to see the NHL made it onto that page.
We still hate you, Gary.
Yeah, no. Yeah, we're not huge fans of Gary Bettman. Sorry it didn't work in Phoenix, Gary. Anyway, we'll take a top of the hour break. It's Jeff Leitze Jr., Nick Bellman, and Tanner Bertomesso, the fabulous one. Phil Baker will join. We'll do some intern sports centers and just absolutely crush their spirits. Uh-oh. And be really harsh critics. No, I'm just kidding. But we'll do all that and more on the other side. It's the V Show. It's ESPN 680 105.7.